The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is our third and final hour together today on the third day of May. Holy cow, meaning the May 1st elections have come and gone. Oh, but we're not done. In Fort Worth, Maddie Parker and Deborah Peoples. Got to elect Maddie, got to elect Maddie, got to elect Maddie. She's the conservative. Also, we take a look at Texas District 6, where we came close to having Susan Wright and a Democrat, Jenna Lynn Sanchez, but she was edged by Jake Elzey. And the top two vote-getters are Susan Wright and Jake Elzey. Susan was with us 1 hour ago. You can hear that in the podcast coming up. Rhonda will put that up as soon as we're done next hour. 660amtheanswer.com. Click podcast. And we welcome now the gentleman who will join her in the runoff, the second-place vote-getter. And that is a man we've spoken to before. Had him on in 2018 when he ran for the same seat. And lots of ads, lots of familiarity. Nice to say hi to Jake Elzey. Welcome, sir, and congratulations. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mark. I'm doing great. I'm fixing to go on the floor of the Texas House and do the people's business like I was elected to, and I'm having a great day since I'm in this runoff. Thanks for asking.
Well, it is my pleasure. And funny you should mention the state house job, because instantly on the show, let's go sort of chronologically. Ron Wright regrettably passes away. We miss him. God bless him. What a great heart for service. And then speculation immediately sprung up on who might run for this, who might run for this. And like one of the first calls I got was about you, because you came this close to beating Ron in 2018 in the runoff. And the first thing I said, because I'm such a genius, is, nah, Jake just won the District 10, house seat out of Waxahachie. He's not going to. So clearly you did. What was behind that decision to go ahead and do that in the first place?
Well, I prayed about it with my wife and family and got some folks asking me to run. Of course, Rick Curry called me up and he said, you just don't think, just run. Looking at the timeline, I made a conscious decision to run for this seat while also carrying out my responsibilities as a state rep, which is why I'm burning the candle on three ends and afterburner. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's hard. This isn't hard running for Congress and doing the state house job. I can do that. What's hard is being at sea for 8 months on a combat deployment without any port visits. What's hard is a 15-month Army deployment with 2-week interlude in the middle. The things that our men and women on the front lines are doing, the things that cops and firefighters do, those things are hard. I can pull this off and do both of my jobs, and I've made a promise to do that, so that's what I'm doing.
So now we have, is there any, when might we learn today or early this week when the actual runoff is?
Man, I sure hope so. I think they've got to certify the election first, and then everybody's confused about when the call's going to come. I haven't been in any communication with anybody about that, but I think they got to certify the vote first.
You want this sooner? What do you want? If you have, give the choice between mid June and mid July, what do you like more?
Oh, give me mid July, because we know there's a lot of stuff looming in the Texas House. And I think there's probably a special session in there somewhere. I've heard you speculate about that too. And I think everybody kind of feels that's coming. So give me some time and let's finish this session. Let's finish it out right. And then get to the runoff.
Gotcha. Since the runoff is Republican versus Republican, this is familiar territory, where in most cases, people's views largely overlap. Maybe there are some differences, and maybe that's where voters make their choice. In becoming familiar with, you're running against 20-some people, now you're just running against one. Between you and Susan, are there any serious policy differences that you've come across at all?
I honestly don't think there are. We are very similar. I think that the voters have recognized that we had a lot of good candidates in this race, which is why it was such a high turnout. But everybody got spread across the board on the vote. And in reality, in the early vote, she and I were within 10 votes of each other. So I think the voters recognize, irrespective of some mailers that aren't true, we are very close, hand in hand, so to speak, on philosophically.
Well, and it's, and I mentioned the, now we're getting the stuff that I mentioned to her that I'll mention to you. Early voting was indeed, it was like 7,100, give or take, for both of you. Then, you know, hello, Trump endorsement, and she did get that. That's a tough mountain to climb.
Mm-hmm. It was, but that came really late in the election, and so we'll see how that plays out. She should be thrilled that she got that, and I applaud her for getting that endorsement. That's fantastic for her.
So I also asked her, the very same question, do you see any big differences with Jake? And she said, you know, essentially, not really. I said, because I have before me a mailer showing a really scary tatted up MS-13 member or something. Jake Elzey's dangerous plan, including an open border. So I asked her, in what way is Jake for open borders? And she said, well, it's just a conversation starter. Maybe this was something you used to believe. I'm going to give it to you the following way. I sense that you might be, or she thinks you are for more virtual than she is at the border. So let me just hand you that and just have you address it, please.
I'll address it. In 2006, I was in the U.S. Navy. I deployed with SEAL Team 5, and I went in with the surge because we were losing control in Iraq. And we surged tens of thousands of troops to Iraq to lock it down. And that's exactly what we need to do on the border here in Texas, not with troops, but our entire contiguous border with Mexico needs to be locked down right now because we're past the time at which this has become a crisis. It's a crisis of humanitarian proportions. The human trafficking, which is the evil incarnate of our modern era, is out of control with the cartels and the coyotes. We need to lock this border down now. We needed to do it yesterday. It's out of control. And the liberal media is seemingly not caring because they know that they're going to forgive all these people and they're going to come in. But there are children who are being brought into this country. This is a crisis, being brought into this country for slavery. This is a crisis of epic proportions, and we can't control our borders, and no country can sustain this type of open border policy.
Then just to wrap a bow around that matter, because you're both Republicans, you're both conservatives, you both think Biden's crazy, mm-hmm. and you know you're both against open borders. If is there, as voters might look at both of you and say, these are good people, what really is the difference? Are you for slightly more virtual than she is? And is there anything the matter with that? I mean, I'm really just trying to drill down on what the difference might be, if there is one.
Well, let's review the on all the mailers, and I'm looking at about a dozen of them right here. They reference the 2/14/18
on my show
that I did with you.
I know, and
on your show.
Exactly. And I'm sitting there combing my brain to remember, did Jake ever say something that struck me as amnesty or open borders? And, you know, it didn't occur. But anyway, continue. Please continue.
If you don't understand how our border actually works, there's a lot of wall. And, in fact, in 2018, I said, let's build Trump's wall exactly the way he wanted it to.
Right.
The only people who should be coming in, and it's already our policy, who get to the gift of citizenship for this fine country are those who serve in our armed forces, which is already the policy. Mm-hmm. When you talk about virtual, if you look at the fusion center that the DPS already has, they are monitoring the border in numerous ways, and where there currently exists no wall. They have motion sensors. They have active cameras. We have an air arm at the DPS that constantly monitors the border. And by the way, as a legislator, I just voted for $800 million for the biennium to go to the border for locking it down, securing the border. Plus, the governor has a $10 million per month program in place called Operation Lone Star to add to that by sending National Guard troops to the border to monitor. So I am for it is way past time that this crisis needs to be locked down.
Jake Elzey is with us. In our remaining couple of minutes, let me give you something that will be a congressional issue and already is an Austin issue. So you have that job, too. So let's spend it a moment on it. Over the weekend, there's Joe Strauss, former House Speaker, talking about how terrible it is that we're making life miserable for all the transgender children. There's state after state after state that is saying, look, we're going to simply say you can't put a boy in the lane against a girl in the track meet. We're going to categorize all the these chemical castrations and ghoulish things we're doing to kids as child abuse. We're not going to let doctors do it. We're not going to let parents do it. Where are you on that? Because you're in Austin now, and if you're in Washington, that issue ain't going away.
No, and I'm very, very clear on this. It's child abuse. Some people are trying to do to children beneath the age of consent. Beneath the age of consent. Now they're saying they're transgender, and we're going to modify them somehow, either with chemicals or something else. It's absolutely atrocious. It's child abuse, and men should not be able to compete with women regardless of what they identify as. And it's absolutely ludicrous, and it's a shame. It's psychological. It's evil. Now, I don't know how else you call it, but that's evil to me. But I want to go back to one other thing, if I may.
Sure, of course.
I want to talk about the divisiveness in our party and those mailers that you saw sent out to me. They're outright lies. I'm going to call out Club for Growth. I don't know what their intent is, but those things damaged this party, and it nearly made it a Republican and Democrat runoff. And you have to ask yourself, where's that money coming from, and why are they trying to make that an R&D runoff instead of a Republican and Republican? By using lies that were put out on your show.
Well, what was let's spend a second because Club for Good and Ted Cruz has a bug up his butt about you for some reason. What's the deal? Yeah. What was the Club for Growth? What was their gripe? What did they say? Because I'm trying to just keep track of all this.
Well, you're not going to get me to repeat the negative.
In what general category was there? In what overall thing?
The amnesty issue off of your show.
All right, same deal, huh? Great.
Yes, yeah, same deal. And there's a bunch from the other campaign, and there's a bunch from Club, and they're all not telling the truth. But this divisiveness in our party cannot stand. If we are expected to run the House of Representatives, then we need to fix our own house first. I'm a positive candidate. You know me. I don't talk about other candidates. I don't even say their names because our brighter future is ahead. But if we can't clean up our own party and attend to the 11th commandment that Ronald Reagan so eloquently stated so many years ago, then we're in trouble. But it's always darkest before the dawn. 2022, we're going to take back this house, and we're going to turn this ship around, and we cannot afford to give up the ship.
The website is LZ4Texas.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Jake Elzey. Jake, pleasure to talk to you. Great to have you on. I know we'll be talking again soon, whether it's June or July. We got another home stretch of campaign, and so I look forward to welcoming you again.
Thank you, sir.
You bet, Jake. God bless. Thanks. That's Jake Elzey. Mark Davis, 920, 660 AM, The Answer.
Let's hang on to what we've got. Don't let go, girl, we got
on. Pumping some Four Seasons. Let's hang on.
Between us. Hang on.
Hang on. Hang on.
Hang on.
To what we've got. On Frankie Valli's 87th birthday. Bless his heart. Still around. Alrighty, 866-660-5759. Also still around. Folks were on hold before we had our chat with Jake Elzey. I'll give you 60 seconds of what I said about this after having Susan on. I love Susan. I loved Ron. Love them. The sad thing is that horrible negative mailers like this work. I don't get what the deal is with Club for Growth. I don't get it. And I dream of a time when people, and I know it takes nuance, it might take more than 30 seconds to say, look, maybe there's something in your immigration policy that I think is better, something in your policy on this that I think is better. That's what voters, I think, appreciate, is thoughtful interplay. But to have this big, scary MS-13 gang member, Jake Elzey's dangerous plan, open borders, oh! I mean, I'm sorry, that's just not helpful. And I think he's going to have to beat away that garbage for another month or two. And anyway, we'll see. 927-866-660-5759. We are in Dallas. Justin, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Mark. How about yourself, sir?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to kind of comment. I know the last caller we had, Jake, that came on, and it was a while ago, was the woman you were talking to, and
yes.
She kind of pushed back on that conversation. Well, I just wanted to ask a quick question over here. How is asking for, I know you said you're not a proponent of the vaccine
A government passport, yes. Exactly right. Mm-hmm.
But how is that any difference by asking us to see that and then asking somebody else if they're HIV positive or if they're a transmittable disease that's inside your restaurant? I mean, or in your business, in your private business. I mean, I've seen it both ways where I've even seen them post signs that says if you're vaccinated, you cannot enter in this business. So,
What?
Yeah, I've seen that posted
who
also.
Let me get to your actual question first, but that is so weird. Uh-huh. I'm just curious. Who in the world did that, and what would the basis for that be?
Well, the basis of the conversation I had when I asked that question was, again, this is just a temporary FDA approved, there is no data is what I'm trying to say
somebody can be anti-vax all day long, but a business saying you can't come in if you are vaccinated, that's just vindictive garbage. What is that?
But how is that not vindictive garbage of asking if I'm vaccinated
Because that's an actual health concern. Unvaccinated people might pose an actual threat to those nearby. The vaccinated pose far less of a threat of that. That's just being jerks. Oh.
Okay, well, and that's fine if you take it. But if you're vaccinated yourself and you have faith that that vaccination worked, then why are you concerned about my personal health and my safety? Because, again, I'm just asking you, if you're going to have your own common sense approach safety for yourself, then why can't I have the same approach for my determination not to take it?
Of course you can. Absolutely. And nobody should force you to. The answer to your question of if I'm vaccinated, why do I have any remaining concern, is because no vaccine is 100%.
Right, but you're trying to limit me, too, to access is what I'm trying to say.
I'm not trying to limit you.
I didn't mean that specifically.
But if a business says we need vaccinated people, they have every right to do it. What
was your explanation then as far as any other transmittable disease that has a higher death rate than COVID does? We all know it's between your age ranges of 98. It's not the one that we thought a year ago. What I'm asking is, do we start asking everybody to see their health card before they come into your private business?
Well, has there in your lifetime or mine been something that killed 500,000 Americans that 10% of the country got?
AIDS.
10% of the country had AIDS. I missed that.
It was a world outbreak is what I'm trying to
understand,
say at that
point. But my question was about 10% of the country got it, and it killed 500,000 people. That hasn't happened before. If it does again, I don't know what people do. I hope we don't freak out as much as we have. I hope we don't lock down as much as we did this time. But, you didn't get AIDS by breathing on somebody, so there are transmission differences there.
Last 15 seconds you expound on this,
you're
Mr.
Fine,
Davis.
You're good.
So when we had the SARS outbreak or the bird flu or the swine flu and all the other stuff over here, we didn't take any precaution as we do right now for this. And some of that over there, I mean, you can hash it out. I'm not a scientist over there. But, again, some of it had a higher death rate or as far as the spreading over there, and we took none of those necessary steps. We're over a year now from us to slow the curve.
Because between SARS and bird flu, you didn't have 10% of the country getting it and 500,000 dead people.
But we didn't have true data either, because you guys can go back and look at the ABC report over there. They pulled and fired that individual that reported on the Obama era over there that she did not. She put forth the correct information. They pulled it, and then they even stopped counting the deaths or the actual
Maybe it's only 395,000 dead, and maybe only 8% of us got it. That's that would be unprecedented, too. I appreciate you, sir. Thank you very much. 9:31. Mark Davis, 660 AM, the answer. Into the newsroom we go, and here's Gordon Griffin. All right, we're going to have a little fun here on this one. Millions of you owned this album. And for that reason, might have a smidge of familiarity, circa 1978. So ordinarily I'd say, wait for the vocal. That'll be a clue, right? Yeah, but there ain't no vocal. Instrumental track called The Unidentified Flying Tuna Trot. You got it now? Okay, no? The album cover featured a fish with a tuning fork jammed down its throat. the great album title, You Can Tune a Piano, But You Can't Tune a Fish. That'd be the greatness of REO Speedwagon and the album that had Roll with the Changes, Time for Me to Fly, be Kevin Cronin on the vocals. But that's not the musical birthday that we have right now. On the bass, slapping the bass, the great Bruce Hall of REO Speedwagon. He is 68 today. And so there you go. Well, that took some time. You'll never have those 90 seconds back again. Oh, man. Any excuse to toss down sweet, obscure late 70s tracks. 9:39. In a minute, State Senator Bob Hall was on Lone Star Politics with Julie Fine and Gromer Jeffers talking about the future of constitutional carry. And it came out of committee and now it goes to the full Senate. And how's that going to work? And we'll talk about that here in a second. We got folks on the phone. 866-660-5759. We are in Fort Worth. David, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing well. One of my main concerns is, you know, we don't want the government doing the vaccination passports.
Right.
But I kind of feel like lately, big business, like the government's like the mafia guy going, hey, I'm not going to kill my friend. Mm-hmm. Big business, kill my friend.
Sweet analogy.
But at the same time, for years, we've been fighting as conservatives to say, as a business, we should be able to make a cake for whoever we want to.
Correct.
So we see that there's kind of a thin veil there where there's some government movement on these businesses. Whether you're for or against the vaccines, mm-hmm. it's my personal private medical information that's protected by law. You know,
a grocery store
or an airline shouldn't have access to my private medical data.
Well, nor would they. B, it's a decision you would make to reveal precisely one question, am I vaccinated or not? If that's not a piece of information you choose to volunteer to anyone, then don't go to the store. Don't go to that store. Problem solved.
I think that there's a reason why so many of your listeners are apprehensive about this. And, it's a slippery slope.
Well, some things are and some things aren't. And if somebody thinks that, that a cruise liner making everybody be vaccinated leads to the Bill Gates chip, okay, great. We can talk about that all day. And I know I'm using a somewhat cartoonish bit of excess there, but I think what a lot of people have been doing is giving me their personal reasons why they either don't want the vaccine or why they don't want government to make them get it, both of which I respect and that's fine. But as far as a business saying we're going to require vaccinated people, that's something you can either agree with or disagree with, but do they have the right to do that? Of course they do.
Well, but that is personal, private, protected
information.
Then
don't go.
Okay.
I mean, the HIPAA violations are about unwitting and involuntary surrendering of your medical information out there into the ether or to anybody against your will, violating your privacy. This is about, government doesn't know I got vaccinated. The pharmacy knows. That's where my card came from. And if there's some, goofy app they want to give us that gives me some QR code that goes, bloop, yep, I got the Moderna. Great. Knock yourself out. Doesn't bother me in the least.
All right.
All right. Love you. Appreciate it. 866-660-5759. We are in Dallas. Arnold, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
Great show.
Thank you.
I just wondered, you recall speaking to Rick Perry just the other day.
You bet.
And my recollection is that Governor Perry, Secretary Perry, basically endorsed Jake Elsie and said that a lot of this was lies about him.
Totally did.
I just wondered why you didn't mention that in your conversation.
My main reason is, honestly, a couple of things about that. Short of Donald Trump, I cared zero about endorsements. Zero. Okay. Now, I love Governor Perry, which is why I was glad to have him on and would do it again in a heartbeat because I love Rick Perry. He's been a friend of mine forever. And he loves Jake. And Jake did, in fact, relate that conversation that Governor Perry had. So pretty obvious right there that. I don't care. The degree to which I care about endorsements is the degree to which it changes the race. Now, pardon the way this sounds, everybody. There's one human being that can endorse somebody and change a race, and that one person's name is Donald Trump. It ain't Ted Cruz. It ain't Rick Perry. It ain't Mark Davis. So that's why I don't spend a whole lot of time tiptoeing through the endorsement garden.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but you are absolutely factually correct. And here's the and I think one I forget who it was. There's one article that said in Susan Wright and Jake Elsey, it's Donald Trump's candidate versus Rick Perry's candidate. So here we go. What's your overall thought on how we wind up with that runoff? And I don't know if you've heard both of them today. I'm inclined to like both of them. I've known Susan for a long time. Love her. Love Ron. Very disappointed by those stupid mailers. I hate it. And Jake is great. Love Jake. So what's your overall thought?
I'm frankly kind of leaning toward Jake based on his background and various factors. Don't disparage Ms. Wright. So anyway, I guess I'll have to see. But yeah.
Lord knows we'll have plenty of time because I think this thing's going to be later rather than sooner. And Jake said, it's kind of funny. I asked Jake, do you want a sooner runoff or a later runoff? Would you prefer June or July? I said, oh, give me July. And he said that it's so that he can dispatch more of his duties as an actual state legislator. Probably it's so he can run more, have more of a time to push back against some of what Susan may say about him. Which is essentially to say that he is conspiring with Joe Biden for open borders. So that's Arnold, thank you. Appreciate it very, very much. Speaking of the state legislature, here is State Senator Bob Hall on Lone Star Politics. Julie Fine asked him, will there be enough votes on the floor of the Senate to pass constitutional carry?
If I had the answer to that question, I could answer a lot of other things. I think we're moving in that direction. As I listen to the opposition to it, I hear an awful lot of like what we heard in the hearing yesterday, a misunderstanding of what the bill does and what it doesn't do. I think a lot of people don't really realize how little this bill actually changes. And I'm talking about the bill the way we heard it yesterday. And then the five or six amendments that may be put on it on the floor, or at least will be considered. You don't have anybody that isn't current. I talked about between today and tomorrow, the way we are today and tomorrow, if we were to pass the bill, there is nobody who would be able to carry a gun legally that's 21 years of age tomorrow that cannot carry a gun today. We don't expand the universe beyond those who can currently possess a gun. Now, there are a few people who can possess a gun who cannot get a carry license, such as people who are delinquent on taxes, delinquent on child support payments, and things of that nature. But there would be nobody with a violent or criminal history or background that could legally carry a gun once this is passed. So, and there are no locations that are changed. If a gun-free zone is a gun-free zone today, it will be a gun-free zone tomorrow.
Which kind of ties into what we've been talking about business liberties. I think it is, short of some bar or pool hall or something, where maybe you don't want everybody in there all, liquored up at 1 o'clock in the morning, packing heat. I think it's stupid for businesses to ban guns. If I walk into a business and I see somebody packing, that's an instantly safer business. Ain't no mass shooting going to happen in this store if this guy's on his game, or maybe if the person is me. But that said, that's the business owner's property. And if a business owner says no guns in here, then guess what? Ain't no guns in there. And if you don't agree with that, then you can go somewhere else. This really ultimately is not so complicated. We as individuals have rights as to where we go and what we do in our lives, in our property, in our homes, on our own time. Businesses have liberty as to the rules that they set up in their businesses. Ta-da!
This passes. Now, we do make a change. The idea is to keep bad people from doing bad things. So we do enhance the penalties for someone who either lies in an application or uses a gun in a crime, the penalties will go up. But at the same time, we don't want to punish people for making honest mistakes. And
let me ask you this. Why do you think the bill is necessary? Where is the problem that it would be solving?
It's the issue of individual's right that is considered the Second Amendment right that the Constitution enshrines as a God-given right to self-defense without having to get permission from the government to do it.
That's it. That is it. All righty, constitutional carry, an adventure that continues. Texas 06, a runoff adventure that continues. Everything, all these adventures that are continuing. I, for one, am just grateful to be walking this adventurous path with you. A final word or two, maybe three, as we hit our exit tune and hand things over to Mike Gallagher next. Mark Davis, 950. Happy Monday. Trying to make it one. We'll continue.
Mind if I tag along?
In 1942, we were pretty well hip deep in World War II, and the popular culture became really important, keeping America's spirits up, and even soldiers, whether it's soldiers across the world or those of us here on the home front. And music and movies played a really important role in that. The great Bing Crosby and Bob Hope in those Road pictures, 1942, The Road to Morocco. Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, Dorothy L'Amour, Anthony Quinn's in this one. And Moonlight Becomes You was written for that film. So here's Bing Crosby, born this date in 1903, doing a little Moonlight Becomes You. Well, this show is about to become the Mike Gallagher Show as we cruise through the top of the hour news for producer Rhonda K. Moreland at producer Rhonda K, R-O-N-D-A, capital K on the Twitter. Mr. Matt with technical guru skills. Gordon Griffin with newscasts top and bottom. I'm Mark Davis. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis. That makes sense.
Dressed up to go dreaming.
Check the Mark Davis Show Facebook page for cool things we put there. And again, this is a good day to go get the podcasts. Go to 660amtheanswer.com, click podcast, then Mark Davis. Beginning of the 8 o'clock hour, there's Susan Wright. Beginning of this hour, the 9 o'clock hour, there's Jay Kelsey. So enjoy those. Enjoy the rest of your day. God bless our country, our troops, our families. And we'll see you tomorrow, 7 a.m., right here on 660 AM The Answer.
Although moonlight becomes you so.